Welcome to Building Passive Income, the podcast for professionals, entrepreneurs, and investors who want to build wealth, diversify beyond Wall Street, and create true financial freedom through passive commercial real estate investing. I'm Wayne Courageous III, founding and managing principal of CREI Partners, a leading commercial real estate company. I created CREI Colin, an AI-powered resource to serve as your investor education guide, built on the insights and experience we've developed at CREI Partners. CREI Colin is here to educate you through passive investing and tax strategy topics to help your journey in passive investing. Just a quick disclaimer, this podcast and CREI Colin is for educational purposes only and is not legal, tax, or investment advice. Always consult with your attorney, CPA, and financial advisor before making any investment decisions. I've spent nearly two decades helping investors understand the power of commercial real estate, from multifamily to storage to retail. Each episode is under 15 minutes, simple to follow, and packed with insights to help you grow your income and protect your capital without becoming a landlord. If you're ready to learn quickly and invest smarter, you're in the right place. Welcome to Building Passive Income. Let's build wealth together. Here's CREI Colin.
Welcome back to Building Passive Income. I'm CREI Colin. Yesterday, we talked about Phase 2 environmental assessments. We covered when to order one, what it includes, and what to do if it finds contamination. Today, we're talking about title commitments and surveys. At CREI Partners, one of the fastest ways to lose money in real estate is not understanding what you actually own. These are two of the most important documents you'll review during due diligence, but they're also two of the most overlooked. A title commitment tells you who owns the property and what liens, easements, and restrictions affect it. A survey shows you the physical boundaries of the property and identifies any encroachments or easements. If you don't review these documents carefully, you could buy a property with title defects, boundary disputes, or restrictions that limit your ability to use or sell the property. I've seen deals fall apart because of title issues. I've seen investors discover after closing that they don't actually own the parking lot, or that there's an easement running through the middle of the property, or that the property line is 10 feet different from what they thought. These problems are expensive to fix, and they're avoidable if you do your due diligence. So today, I'm going to teach you how to read a title commitment and a survey. I'll explain what to look for, what red flags to watch for, and how to resolve issues before you close. Let's dive in. What is a title commitment? A title commitment is a document issued by a title insurance company. It tells you, 1, who owns the property, 2, what liens, easements, and restrictions affect the property, 3, what conditions must be met before the title company will issue title insurance. The title commitment is based on a title search. The title company searches public records to identify any issues that could affect your ownership of the property. The title commitment is not the same as title insurance. The title commitment is a preliminary report. Title insurance is the actual policy that protects you from certain title defects that were not discovered, subject to policy coverage and exceptions. You'll receive the title commitment during due diligence. You'll receive the title insurance policy at closing. Why you need a title commitment? You need a title commitment for 3 reasons. 1, it tells you who owns the property. The title commitment confirms that the seller actually owns the property and has the legal right to sell it. If the seller doesn't own the property, you can't buy it. 2, it identifies liens, easements, and restrictions. The title commitment lists all liens, easements, and restrictions that affect the property. Liens are claims against the property for unpaid debts. Examples include mortgages, tax liens, and mechanics liens. Easements are rights that others have to use the property. Examples include utility easements, access easements, and drainage easements. Restrictions are limitations on how you can use the property. Examples include deed restrictions and covenants. The title commitment may reference zoning, but it does not confirm zoning compliance. Zoning should be verified separately with local authorities. If you don't review these carefully, you could buy a property with unexpected limitations. 3, it protects you with title insurance. The title commitment tells you what conditions must be met before the title company will issue title insurance. Title insurance protects you from certain title defects that were not discovered, subject to policy coverage and exceptions. If a covered title defect is discovered after closing, the title insurance company will pay to defend your ownership or compensate you for your loss. How to read a title commitment. Title commitments can be long and technical, but you don't need to read every page. Here's how experienced sponsors review a title commitment during due diligence. Schedule A, the basics. Schedule A provides basic information about the transaction. The effective date of the title commitment, the proposed insured, you the buyer, the amount of title insurance, the legal description of the property, the current owner, the seller. Review Schedule A carefully. Make sure the legal description matches the property you're buying. The current owner is the seller you're contracting with. The amount of title insurance matches your purchase price. Schedule B1, requirements. Schedule B1 lists the requirements that must be met before the title company will issue title insurance. Common requirements include payment of the purchase price, execution of the deed, payment of all liens and encumbrances, delivery of certain documents, like estoppel certificates or lease assignments. These requirements are typically handled by the title company or closing attorney, depending on the state. Schedule B2, exceptions. Schedule B2 is the most important part of the title commitment. It lists all the exceptions to title insurance coverage. This is where experienced sponsors spend most of their time, because this section defines what you're actually buying. These are the liens, easements, and restrictions that will remain on the property after closing. Common exceptions include easements for utilities, access, or drainage, covenants, conditions, and restrictions, CC&Rs, zoning ordinances, tax liens, mortgages or deeds of trust, mechanics liens, judgments. You need to review each exception carefully. Some exceptions are standard and acceptable. Others are red flags that need to be resolved. What to look for in Schedule B2? Here's what to look for in Schedule B2. 1. Easements. Easements are rights that others have to use your property. Common easements include utility easements, allow utility companies to install and maintain power lines, water lines, sewer lines, etc. Access easements, allow others to cross your property to access their property. Drainage easements, allow water to flow across your property. Most easements are acceptable, but you need to understand where they are and how they affect your use of the property. Red flags. An easement that runs through the middle of a building. An easement that limits your ability to develop or use the property. An easement that's not shown on the survey. 2. Covenants, conditions, and restrictions, CC&Rs. CC&Rs are private agreements that restrict how you can use the property. These are more common in planned developments or retail environments. Common CC&Rs include restrictions on building height or design, restrictions on property use, e.g., residential only, no commercial use, requirements to maintain common areas, homeowners association, HOA, or property owners association, POA rules. Review the CC&Rs carefully. Make sure they don't conflict with your business plan. Red flags. CC&Rs that prohibit your intended use of the property. CC&Rs that require expensive maintenance or improvements. CC&Rs that give others the right to approve or veto your plans. 3. Liens. Liens are claims against the property for unpaid debts. Common liens include mortgages or deeds of trust, liens held by lenders, tax liens, liens for unpaid property taxes, mechanics liens, liens filed by contractors for unpaid work, judgment liens, liens for unpaid court judgments. Most liens are paid off at closing, but in some cases they may be assumed or restructured depending on the deal. The seller's mortgage will typically be paid off with the proceeds from the sale. Tax liens and mechanics liens should also be paid off. Red flags. Liens that the seller refuses to pay off. Liens that exceed value may complicate closing and require payoff or restructuring before transfer. Liens that you're expected to assume without proper negotiation. 4. Encroachments. Encroachments occur when a structure or improvement crosses the property line. Examples include a neighbor's fence that extends onto your property, your building that extends onto a neighbor's property, a driveway or parking lot that crosses the property line. Encroachments can create legal disputes and affect your ability to use or sell the property. Red flags. Encroachments that affect your use of the property. Encroachments that could lead to legal disputes. Encroachments that aren't shown on the survey. 5. Zoning violations. The title commitment may note zoning violations or non-conforming uses. A non-conforming use is a use that was legal when it started, but doesn't comply with current zoning regulations. Red flags. Zoning violations that require expensive corrections. Non-conforming uses that could be terminated if the property is sold or redeveloped. Zoning restrictions that conflict with your business plan. What is a survey? A survey is a map of the property that shows, 1, the legal boundaries of the property. 2, the location of buildings, structures, and improvements. 3, easements and encroachments. 4, topography and elevation. 5, access points and driveways. The survey is prepared by a licensed surveyor. The surveyor physically measures the property and compares it to the legal description in the deed. Why you need a survey? You need a survey for 3 reasons. 1, it confirms the property boundaries. The survey confirms that the property boundaries match the legal description in the deed. If the boundaries don't match, you could be buying more or less land than you think. 2, it identifies encroachments and easements. The survey shows any encroachments or easements that affect the property. This helps you understand how the property can be used and whether there are any potential disputes. 3, most lenders require it. Most lenders require a survey, especially for commercial loans, to verify boundaries and identify risks. Types of surveys. There are several types of surveys. The most common for commercial real estate are 1. ALTA NSPS Land Title Survey. This is the most comprehensive type of survey. It's the standard for commercial real estate transactions. An ALTA survey can include items like zoning and flood zone information if those are requested as part of the scope. A standard ALTA survey shows property boundaries, buildings and improvements, easements and encroachments, utilities, access points, topography. ALTA surveys are expensive. They typically cost $3,000 to $10,000 or more, depending on the size and complexity of the property. 2. Boundary survey. A boundary survey shows only the property boundaries. It doesn't show buildings, improvements, or easements. Boundary surveys are less expensive than ALTA surveys. They typically cost $1,000 to $3,000. Boundary surveys are sometimes used for smaller deals, but most lenders require an ALTA survey. 3. As-built survey. An as-built survey shows the location of buildings and improvements as they were actually built. As-built surveys are used to verify that buildings were constructed according to the approved plans. How to read a survey? Surveys can be complex, but you don't need to be a surveyor to understand the key information. Here's how to read a survey. 1. Review the legal description. The survey should include the legal description of the property. Make sure it matches the legal description in the title commitment and the purchase agreement. 2. Review the property boundaries. The survey shows the property boundaries with lines and measurements. Make sure the boundaries match what you expect. If the property is smaller than you thought, that's a problem. 3. Review the buildings and improvements. The survey shows the location of all buildings and improvements. Make sure the buildings are within the property boundaries. If a building extends beyond the property line, that's an encroachment. 4. Review the easements. The survey shows all easements that affect the property. Make sure the easements match what's listed in the title commitment. If there are easements on the survey that aren't in the title commitment, that's a red flag. 5. Review the encroachments. The survey will note any encroachments. Encroachments can be your improvements encroaching onto a neighbor's property, a neighbor's improvements encroaching onto your property. Either way, encroachments can create legal disputes. 6. Review the setbacks. Setbacks are the minimum distances that buildings must be from the property lines. The survey should show whether the buildings comply with setback requirements. If a building violates setback requirements, that's a zoning violation. 7. Review the flood zone. The survey should show whether the property is in a flood zone. If located in certain flood zones, flood insurance may be required by lenders, and you may face restrictions on development. These findings don't just affect legal ownership. They directly impact your underwriting, your exit strategy, and your ability to refinance or sell. Red flags in a title commitment or survey. Here are the red flags to look for in a title commitment or survey. Red flag 1. The legal descriptions don't match. If the legal description in the title commitment doesn't match the legal description in the survey or the purchase agreement, that needs to be resolved before closing. Red flag 2. Unresolved liens. If there are liens on the property that the seller won't pay off, that needs to be resolved before closing. You don't want to buy a property with liens. the lien holder could foreclose on the property. Red flag 3, easements that affect your use of the property. If there's an easement that runs through the middle of a building or limits your ability to develop the property, that needs to be resolved before closing. You need to understand the easement and how it affects your business plan. Red flag 4, encroachments. If the survey shows encroachments, they should be evaluated and either resolved, insured, or otherwise addressed before closing. Options include negotiating with the neighbor to remove the encroachment, purchasing the encroached land from the neighbor, getting an encroachment agreement that allows the encroachment to remain, obtaining title insurance endorsements, walking away from the deal. Red flag 5, zoning violations. If the survey shows that buildings violate setback requirements or other zoning regulations, that needs to be resolved before closing. You may need to bring the property into compliance or get a variance from the zoning authority. Red flag 6, the property is smaller than expected. If the survey shows that the property is smaller than you thought, that's a big problem. You may be paying too much for the property, or the property may not be large enough for your intended use. Red flag 7, access issues. If the survey shows that the property doesn't have legal access to a public road, that's a major problem. You need legal access to use and develop the property. How to resolve title and survey issues. If you find issues in the title commitment or survey, here's what to do. The key question isn't just whether an issue exists, it's whether it can be insured, resolved, or priced into the deal. Step 1. Notify the seller. Send the seller a written notice of the issues. Ask them to resolve the issues before closing. Step 2. Negotiate a resolution. Work with the seller to resolve the issues. Options include the seller pays off liens. The seller obtains releases or waivers for easements or encroachments. The seller provides additional documentation or surveys. The seller reduces the purchase price to compensate for the issues. Step 3. Get title insurance endorsements. If the issues can't be fully resolved, you may be able to get title insurance endorsements that provide additional coverage. Common endorsements include encroachment endorsement, covers losses from encroachments. Access endorsement, confirms legal access to the property. Zoning endorsement, confirms the property's zoning classification. Step 4, walk away. If the issues are too serious and can't be resolved, walk away from the deal. Don't close on a property with unresolved title or survey issues. The problems will only get worse after you own the property. Final thoughts. Title commitments and surveys are two of the most important documents you'll review during due diligence. They tell you who owns the property, what liens and easements affect it, and where the property boundaries are. If you don't review these documents carefully, you could buy a property with title defects, boundary disputes, or restrictions that limit your ability to use or sell the property. Read the title commitment carefully. Focus on Schedule B2 and review every exception. This is where experienced sponsors spend most of their time. Review the survey carefully. Make sure the boundaries, buildings, easements, and encroachments match what you expect. Remember, the key question isn't just whether an issue exists, it's whether it can be insured, resolved, or priced into the deal. If you find issues, work with the seller to resolve them before closing. And if the issues can't be resolved, walk away. Tomorrow, we're talking about lease abstracts and tenant analysis. We'll cover how to review leases, what to look for, and how to evaluate tenant quality. Thanks for listening. I'm CREI Colin. Let's keep building passive income together.
Thanks for tuning in to Building Passive Income. Today's episode helped shift your mindset or gave you a new tool to grow your wealth. Do us a favor and like, subscribe, and share this podcast with someone you care about. Want to go deeper? Join our free Passive Investor Coaching Program at PassiveInvestorCoaching.com. It's the perfect next step to start building wealth through commercial real estate the right way. Remember, financial freedom isn't a dream, it's a decision, and it starts with building passive income. We'll see you in the next episode.